Revelation chapter 3. Is that good? Title of the message, Jesus Loves His People. We're looking this morning at the church in Philadelphia. Church in Philadelphia was very similar to the church in Smyrna. In fact, they each in this book of the Revelation have one thing in common. Jesus had nothing negative to say about either one of those churches. We've been touring these cities the last several weeks. Thanks to that beneficiary who bought your ticket and paid all of your expenses. As you and me approach Philadelphia, it's clear that this city is prone to a very catastrophic natural disaster, earthquakes. As you look at the ruins of this great and ancient city, it is clear that they have sustained many, many damages. Those who have experienced an earthquake share that it is the stuff of nightmares. Everything you thought was secure is moving. I can remember there was one day in the very early morning hours, we felt our place just shake for a brief 10 or 15 seconds. And I was talking later on in that day with a man from work who was from Seattle, Washington. He said, what passes as an earthquake in this part of the country is nothing out in Seattle. He said, out in Seattle, they have the type of earthquakes where the ground beneath your feet feels as though it is liquid because you can feel your feet shifting up and down, given the size and the scope of the earthquake, obviously. Philadelphia had experienced the big one about 50 or so years before John wrote this book of the Revelation. The city was devastated, and they required the assistance of the emperor. In a great city that had lost temples to earthquakes, the followers of Jesus were promised that they would be made pillars in the temple of God. Remember, yeah, there is a church here, but the church probably consists of 5 or 10, maybe a few dozen at best. This is a Roman city, a pagan city, and they have all the signs of paganism around them. And in this city, in which their pagan temples had fallen, in which grand pillars that were meant to hold up structures were toppled, Jesus makes a clear promise that they would be made pillars in the temple of God. This one would not be made of stone or marble. Rather, like Peter and Paul's descriptions, this is a temple made of people with Jesus as the foundation. This is a promise to cherish. J. Vernon McGee, in his commentary, he shared that as he was going through, knowing that this was a Roman city, he expected there to be an amphitheater. But he noticed the absence of the amphitheater on the tour. So he talked with some folks, and they led him to the site of where the amphitheater once stood. And he got to rooting through, and there was a lot of overgrowth. And as he made his way through the trees, he found one lone pillar that was left visible of what was once the amphitheater. So whether this is a reference to one of those temples in the of the pagan gods whose pillars had fallen, or this one lone temple of the amphitheater, it's an amazing promise that Jesus says that the church in Philadelphia, and you and me by extension, will be pillars in the temple of God. As has been our custom the last several weeks, the outline is simple. The speaker's identification, the speaker's knowledge and verdict, promise and exhortation. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. Did we not just hear those same words just a few minutes ago? I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man can take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. As we go to the Lord in prayer, heed that exhortation. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we thank you that you preserved this message in your word. This very special church, similar to Smyrna, but still special, because they held to your word. Lord, we pray that you would describe us today as holding to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The speaker's identification. He identifies himself simply as he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. Calling attention to himself as the true Messiah. That very lengthy identification calls attention to the speaker, calls attention to Jesus, who is speaking to his churches, who is speaking to you and me. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Turn with me to Hosea chapter 11. Hosea, the very first in the book of the 12, or what we know as the minor prophets. Hosea chapter 11. Y'all are getting really good at finding these obscure books. Hosea chapter 11 and verse 8. How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? How shall I deliver thee, Israel? How shall I make thee as Admah? How shall I set thee as Zeboim? Mine heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together. I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not return to destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter the city. They shall walk after the Lord. He shall roar like a lion. When he shall roar, then the children shall tremble from the west. They shall tremble as a bird out of Egypt, as a dove out of the land of Assyria, and I will place them in their houses, saith the Lord. And just as John said, he is the Holy One, as Hosea describes. Also, Isaiah chapter 22. Isaiah 22 and verse 20. Isaiah 22, verse 20. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, and I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle. And I will commit thy government into his hand. He shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. The key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So he shall open and none shall shut. He shall shut and no one shall open. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place. He shall be a glorious throne to his father's house. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, all vessels of small quantity, from the vessels of cups even to the vessels of flagons. By employing the name of David, he affirms his role as Messiah, who alone determines who will participate in the kingdom. Jesus alone determines who will participate in the kingdom. Jesus said, the Father put everything in his hand. He puts you in his Father's hand, and no one can snatch you out. All the Father gives him will come to him. And no one who comes to him will he cast out. Speaker's knowledge and verdict in verses 8 through 10. He says, I've set before thee an open door. No one can shut it. Thou hast a little strength. You've kept my word and not denied my name. I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I've loved thee. When we think about what I last said with regard to verse 7, that Jesus as the Messiah is the one who determines who participates, and then we think about what we see in verses 8 and 9 and 10. The physical, visible enemy. Those who are opposing the very church of God, Jesus calls a synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews, and are not. Remember at this time, the church of the Lord Jesus still has a Jewish presence. Many of these folks in the church at Philadelphia had a Jewish heritage, a Jewish background. And when they received Jesus as their Messiah, when they confessed and repented to Him, surrendering to Him as Lord, they were cast out of the synagogue. So think about that background when you hear the words and the promise there in verse 7, that He has the key of David. He opens, no man shuts. He shuts and no man opens. Him knowing their works, He sets before them, He sets before the church of Philadelphia an open door. Those who said they were Jews and are not, who are the synagogue of Satan, present to the church of Philadelphia a closed door, but Jesus presents to the folks of the church of Philadelphia an open door. Christ, by His absolute authority, opened the door for the Philadelphians, and not even their enemies can close it. You have enemies. I have enemies. Our enemies are the world, the flesh, and the devil. And our enemies will do anything and everything to discourage and to distract us. But the one thing they can't do is slam the door. The door He opens is the entry to the kingdom for those who love Him. It's the entry to the kingdom for those who love Him. Their love is shown by keeping His word, faithfulness to the gospel, and to the apostles' teaching. James said it best. Show me your faith without works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Their love is shown by keeping His word. They did not demonstrate a dry and dead orthodoxy. They didn't just affirm the truths presented in the Nicene and the Apostles' Creed, but they lived the truths of those creeds. The enemies of this church are the enemies of Christ. If the world hates you, Jesus said they hated Him first. If the world hates you, feel empowered. Feel emboldened. Because if they hate you for following Jesus, that's a good reason to be hated. He describes them as a synagogue of Satan, claiming to be Jews, but they deny their Messiah. They were clinging to the traditions of men. They were clinging to the promises made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They were claiming Abraham as father, but not showing the faith of Abraham. 1 John chapter 2. First John chapter 2 and verse 20. First John chapter 2, verse 20. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. those of the synagogue of Satan were denying that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. They were liars. They said they were Jews, but they were lying because they rejected the one who was promised by God to the Jews. He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Galatians chapter 3. Paul's letter to the Galatians, he warns of the Judaizers, those who came in after him and were saying, oh, by the way, Paul didn't tell you everything. Yeah, you need Jesus, but you also need. So in Galatians chapter 3, in the first 9 verses, Paul says this to the churches of Galatia. Chapter 3, verse 1, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if yet it be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith are the same are the children of Abraham. The Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. These who claim to be Jews but were not, who Jesus calls a synagogue of Satan, they were claiming Abraham as their father, but denying the one who was promised to Abraham. Showing faithlessness when Abraham showed faithfulness. The church, the true people of God, are loved by Christ. Judaism, by the time that John writes the book of the Revelation, was a false religion. It was not the religion, it was not the faith held by Abraham and the patriarchs. Judaism, by the time that John wrote this book, was not the religion of Moses, the judges, David, or the prophets. The people of the way, as they were first called in Acts, who later became known as Christians at Antioch, they exhibited the true faith of Abraham. They exhibited the true faith of Israel. The church, the true people of God, loved by Christ, are the inheritors of the covenant promises of the Old Testament. They are the inheritors of the covenant promises of the Old Testament. Turn with me to Isaiah. We've got several texts in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43 to begin with. Isaiah 43, the first 7 verses. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory. I have formed him, yea, I have made him. Why was Israel created? For God's own glory. Why did Jesus call and love you? For his own glory. Turn over to Isaiah 45. 45 and verse 14. Thus saith the Lord, the labor of Egypt, and merchandise of Egypt, of Ethiopia, and the Sabians, men of stature shall come over unto thee, and they shall be thine. They shall come after thee in chains. They shall come over, and they shall fall down unto thee. They shall make supplication unto thee, saying, surely God is in thee, and there is none else. There is no God. Isaiah 49, verses 22 and 23. Isaiah 49, verses 22 and 23. Thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles and set up my standard to the people. And they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. And kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Then chapter 60. Isaiah 60, verse 13. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree and the pine tree and the box together. Beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet, and they shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. In these passages, it is the Gentiles who bow to Israel. Here in Revelation, Jesus reversed the roles. Isaiah prophesied of a time that the Gentiles would come to Israel, confessing the one true and living God that Israel professed. But Jesus now, in the book of the Revelation, reverses those roles. His followers are the people of God, and the Jews are the pagans. Paul described it in Romans chapter 9, 10, and 11 as that olive tree. And those branches that were unfruitful, God pruned them. And then God took wild branches from wild olive trees and grafted them into the olive tree. And who is the olive tree? The olive tree is Israel. And Jesus. Christians endure following the pattern of Christ's own endurance. people of Philadelphia knew what it was to endure suffering. They knew what it was to endure hardship. It wasn't just that they were kicked out of the synagogue, but they were cut off from their family. I've heard that even to this day, if a Jewish person accepts Jesus as their Messiah, as their Christ, that their family treats them as though they were dead. Sometimes even going so far as to have a funeral for that one. You and me have not experienced that level of suffering and persecution. But these folks at Philadelphia had. They were not only cut off from their former place of worship, from the center of religious life, they were cut off from their very family. But they were called and they stepped up to the challenge of enduring. And they followed the pattern that Christ had set before them and before you and me of endurance. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. The first five verses. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Verse 5, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and to the patient waiting for Christ. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, the first three verses. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. They endured, and you and me are called to endure in the hour of temptation. Now there's speculation as to what that hour of temptation is. Is that hour of temptation the days leading up to a rapture? Is that hour of temptation the 7 years of tribulation? Is that hour of temptation specific to these first century Christians and Jews who would witness in just a few years from the writing of this book the devastation and destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70? Wherever you land, it is clear that the hour of temptation is going to present two different types of people. You will either be a Jesus follower or an earth dweller. The hour of temptation will show you evident to either be a Jesus follower or an earth dweller. Where will you be in that hour of temptation? Where were these folks, these Christians at Philadelphia, in that hour temptation. They endured. Why did they endure? Because they held on. They kept the word. They had that little strength. That little strength is like that mustard seed that Jesus promised. That mustard seed is the smallest of all the seeds. But when it's planted and it grows, it is a glorious and majestic tree. Do you have that faith like the mustard seed? Do you have that faith like the Philadelphians? Are you holding on to the clear teaching of the Word of God for endurance in the hour of temptation? The promise in verses 11 and 12. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my name, my new name. The promise. The testing of believers is not the same as that facing the unbelieving earth dwellers. The unbelieving earth dwellers are shown for what they are. As I've said previously, churches who expect unbelievers to come in and act like Christians are unreasonable. But if we expect a Christian to act like a Christian, that is reasonable. The promise is to the overcomer. The earth dweller is not going to overcome in that hour of trial, that hour of temptation. The earth dweller will be destroyed, as these Philadelphian Christians would witness in AD 70. The earth dwellers would be destroyed for those who hold to a rapture. The earth dwellers would be destroyed after the rapture. The earth dwellers will be destroyed in the great tribulation because they take not the name of Christ and rather take the name of the beast. I will make a pillar. Will I make a pillar in the temple of my God? Go back to that image I shared with you earlier of that amphitheater that J. Vernon McGee found off the beaten path, not part of the tour of ancient Philadelphia. He had to go through the thicket, through the overgrowth, to find one lone pillar left of that amphitheater. And J. Vernon McGee described this church of Philadelphia as a revived church who hungered for biblical teaching. Do you hunger for biblical teaching? Not just once a week. Do you hunger for biblical teaching daily? Because a sermon a week ain't going to keep the devil away. A sermon a week ain't going to keep temptation away.